Greetings and salutations, everybody. It's not the camera I wanted. Okay, how about this one? That's good. That's everybody.
What's up?
I'm here with the very important TJ Kirk, which is me.
And also joined by two guys off the street.
Two random homeless street people.
Hey, what's up?
You guys got any meth?
Free
booze!
Yeah. All right. I'm here for the
patron-only episode of Deep Fat Fried is going to be about Jeffrey Dahmer. I know a lot of you guys like those serial killer episodes. If you're not a patron, become one, and you can watch it.
Yes,
it'll
indeed.
It'll be coming out tonight for patrons only. But for now, we're going to give you guys here on the channel a little bit of content. Just go over a few little things, like a mini Flash Fried.
Hey!
Even flashier Flash Fried.
What do we call this?
Flash Fried.
Micro fried? Nuggets? I don't know.
Nuggets. Flash fried nuggets.
All right. There you go.
Sweet.
I'm like a nugget of shit, Paul.
All right. So let's take a look at a few little news stories, kind of what we do here. I want you guys to watch
Trump's new
campaign ad. I'm going to go ahead and share
screen.
Paul there. Shut up.
I'll eat your spleen.
There you go.
If you don't share the screen.
There you go.
Thank you, TJ, for doing your fucking job.
Check this out. This is great.
This is Brad Parscale, the campaign manager for President Trump. President Trump has achieved more during his time in office than any president in history. And that is why I need every Trump supporter to pick up the phone right now and deliver a personal thank you to your president.
Economy, what's the number?
Historic low unemployment.
He'll tell you.
The lowest
worry.
Unemployment rate for minorities in history. We are bringing jobs back to America through new trade deals, and the world
right,
is a safer
TJ,
place.
Pause it.
You got it? Okay.
Pause
we need to
it.
Let
pause
President
it.
Trump
up.
Know that we appreciate
pause
what
it.
All right, I'll pause
I got to get that fucking number. I'm
so,
calling, too.
1-800-684.
Just so you guys know, Kyle Kalinske tried to call this earlier, and it did not work.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe it's going to work for us.
I'm calling right now.
You got to do that, and you got to press 1. Go ahead and hold that right up to the microphone there.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. Your call cannot be completed as
What the fuck, Trump?
Scam situation.
Maybe he shut it down, dude.
Already?
Whoa, dude.
That was trippy.
That was awesome. Can we make that happen every time?
I have no idea how that happened, so no, I guess not.
Damn. For America, I need you to call the number on your screen and deliver
right.
a thank you to President Trump. Call or go online now. Call 800-684-3043.
You know what? I'm calling fucking one of the greatest troll jobs.
President Trump, thank you.
Thank you, President Trump.
Thank you, President Trump.
Thank you, President Trump.
This is a convincing ad.
President Trump needs
I call the number, we don't get anything.
By calling 800-684-3043.
I want to tell him thank you.
Or visit DonaldJTrump.com/TV to thank President Donald Trump.
We can thank him there, TJ.
Yeah, but I'd have to type a bunch of shit out, and I don't feel like doing that.
I'm Donald Trump. Did they approve this message?
I don't even.
Yes.
I want to hear it, dude. I want to know this.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this.
Wow.
Message.
What a fucking buffoon.
No, hold on. That is the first piece of advertising for Trump's 2020 campaign.
And it doesn't work already.
Right.
Wait a minute. That's advertising?
Yes. That is.
That's not like well, I guess all campaign ads are advertising.
This is a political campaign ad. This is the very first.
Thank President Trump.
And it's begging people to call a number that doesn't work to thank Trump for shit that he didn't do.
Yes. To stroke Trump's dick, basically.
Wow.
His very first campaign ad is call this number and suck my fucking dick.
And then. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
This is like. Do you think that there's some Illuminati presence behind Trump designing the perfect buffoon?
Let's hold on. I'm gonna try this number.
It doesn't work.
I'm gonna try it. You guys couldn't get through, but I'm betting you.
You're gonna get through.
The sheer volume. I think it's because it senses that you guys are just a bunch of liberal cucks.
Well, Paul has the number, dude.
Disorder.
I have the number.
Do you want it? It's like 1-800.
Here, I'll give it to you, TJ.
Yeah, I already got it. Here it is.
So 800.
Yeah.
I see it.
684.
Hold on, I'm unlocking my fucking phone. I don't believe in that.
How long does that take?
Thumbprint.
I don't believe in the thumbprint. What if someone cuts off my thumb?
Exactly.
It still doesn't work because it's biometric.
Exactly.
Yep. 30.
He's like, yep.
4-3.
I don't know. Right over his head on that one.
It's because I'm focused.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless.
Boo.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
President Trump, I'm trying to thank you, you son of a bitch. Record-breaking economy. Everything's going great.
God, man.
I just wanted to say thanks. And, you know.
Dude, we should call the White House.
Trump gave us call a fake House. Number, dude.
What's the White House's number?
I don't know. Let's see.
All sincerely, you know, I'll thank him for all his accomplishments.
Let's see. What's the White House's number?
Yeah.
White
where do you House. Where do you call to leave a message for the president?
Number.
A message of thanks.
There you go.
There you go.
It's 202-456-1111.
All right.
They're sending a message of thanks.
You know what? Fuck this. I don't. Because you know what, dude? I don't think I'm going to be able to remain straight-faced through it, and I'll probably say something that'll get the Secret Service showing up in my house, and I don't want that shit.
That's such a shame. American citizens afraid to even call
afraid
their own government.
To call the president.
Lest they be put on some kind of watch list or something.
I mean, honestly, though, like, what if I accidentally go, like, you suck, and that triggers a fucking, you know, I just don't want it.
Did you just say the word trigger to the president?
See?
Are you trying to assassinate the president, Paul?
See what I mean?
So the White House is 55,000 square feet and 70 feet tall?
I guess.
Damn, that's actually bigger than I thought it was.
That's a swanky address. Have you ever seen it?
Didn't Trump call it a dive? He called it a dive, dude.
I got to go when I was a teenager.
Let's see.
And it's a big fucking joint.
Wow, I'd like a big fucking
joint. Doesn't look like a dive to me. you know what I mean? It looks
Trump
nice.
Trump and Melania were bitching, like, I got to live in this shithole and all this.
I mean, it's a really old historical house, so I'm sure it's got its problems on the exterior, or on the interior.
Come on, motherfucker.
It's been, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they spent a ton of money refurbishing it and making it really nice. I mean,
I want some inside pictures. What the fuck? Well,
type inside the White House.
Yeah, I want to see. I want a tour of the fucking White House, dude.
Yeah, dude. Come on, TJ.
Inside of the White House.
Learn to Google.
There we go.
Hey, what do you know?
Dun, 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 dun,
pretty swanky dun, dun, digs, man.
Oh, here's like a little
I never got to go inside the White House, but I've seen the outside.
It's kind of more chopped up than I thought it'd be.
It's a big place.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a fucking dive, honestly. Look at
a
that.
Dive?
It's kind of a fucking...
Dude, remember?
Oh, yeah. It's a dive, dude.
Yeah, what a dive. Remember the John Adams miniseries they did on HBO? And he's elected president. He gets to go like, you get to live in the Capitol. And it's like just
like
it's unfinished.
And, yeah.
There's a bunch of slaves and shit like working around it. It's like all mud. There's no like real town. It's just like, here's the Capitol.
What the hell is this? There's a tunnel? There's a secret tunnel there? Is that what they're saying?
Dude, that's fucking awesome.
Hidden secret. That's just retarded clickbait.
Look at
that
shit.
This fucking... That's like a picture of a mine shaft.
Number one, there's no way
Trump's feet at the Resolute desk.
Dude, there's no way that fucking Trump is his fat ass is fitting down that hole.
And there's his picture of Andrew Jackson everyone talks about. At least I talk about. I don't know.
Yeah, he defied the Supreme Court. What a great man. You know Andrew Jackson was in...
Oh, Stevie was at the White House?
Damn, dude. You know Andrew Jackson was in poor health most of his life, TJ?
Yeah, he was a sickly fuck.
I'm here to petition the government for redress of my grievance.
Why? Obama's... Look how stupid Obama is. He thinks the tunnel's on that side.
Where's the tunnel?
What a moron, dude.
I'm trying to escape down the tunnel. I saw a video.
Well, go back.
What's this?
No, go back. One more. What the fuck? What's up? What is going on, dude? What's going on in the White House? That guy's allowed in. I'm not allowed in the White House, but this jackass is allowed in.
This has got to be just like a fake White House where they have Halloween people.
I don't think so, dude. This is actually...
There's no way that they let
Happy Halloween. Take a look inside.
Yeah, dude,
it is. This is the official White House of Barack Obama, dude.
Barack
let, you know what? I'm convinced now that Obama destroyed America. Look, dude. Look at the kind of people are in our fucking White House.
He let a weeaboo in a kigurumi... Chill at the White House?
Here he is talking to Lincoln, dude. You know he did that?
There's
Stevie in there. He let this dork in.
I will petition
that's the guy
President
that
Obama
should have been denied entry.
To pass a law that all may have a forge. Yeah.
I don't know.
How you feeling about Trump now? Obama's letting this guy in the White House. You know?
Let me say this. As lame as this kind of looks like it was, which it looks like it probably was a little bit lame.
It's pretty lame.
At least... Obama did something for Halloween other than just like, be safe, don't let people abduct your kid. What did Trump do anything for Halloween?
We have to say this too, dude. During the Obama presidency, I mean, like, Someone almost actually got into the White House. They almost they jumped the fence, almost got in. Since Trump's been president, TJ, you heard about any stories like that?
Nope. U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis announces resignation.
Nothing burger.
Yeah.
Well, U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis is resigning, the latest in a string of senior U.S. officials to do so. His announcement came after President Trump said he was withdrawing troops from Syria, a decision General Mattis is understood to oppose. In his resignation letter, General Mattis strongly hinted at policy differences with Mr. Trump. He said the president has the right to appoint someone whose views are better aligned with yours. General Mattis, 68. Wow, he looks so much older. Jeez, he looks like he's on death's door, dude. He looks like he's fucking 90.
He's 60. Wait a minute, what?
Hey, 68.
That's
a bad-looking 68-year-old, dude.
Yeah.
Well,
he did not age well, but...
Holy shit, bro.
Must be all the war crimes, I guess. War crimes age a motherfucker.
Do they collect in giant sorrow sacks under your fucking eyes, dude?
The sacks fill with a liquid of tears and suffering.
I ain't shed no tears over this fuck. Here's just two examples of his bullshit. First of all, he used white phosphorus in an area with 50,000 civilians still present.
He personally went down there with white phosphorus and was like, bitches, here you go. It's Mattis, motherfuckers. Boom.
No, he headed up the operation.
Okay, got it.
His, you know, he got the nickname Mad Dog Mattis. So.
Got it. Allegedly. Allegedly, TJ.
Another time... a group of U.S. Marines massacred 24 unarmed civilians in Iraq. When war crimes charges were brought against them, General Mattis killed it, made sure that they weren't charged with anything, even though they massacred civilians for fun, just basically because they'd run into an IED earlier in the day, and they just decided to take vengeance on just, like, whatever people they came across.
Let me tell you something.
Happened to be just a bunch of civilians.
Yeah, the shit that you hear... Okay, and the reason why he protected these people is because, let's be honest, that shit happened all the fucking time.
That just happened to be an incident that people got wind of somehow.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, there's an international media outcry, then it's, you know, this is a military operation.
So fuck this piece of shit. I'm glad he's gone. I ain't gonna miss him.
Fucking warmonger.
I mean, let's talk about the implication.
The main reason I'm even talking about it is because, well, plenty of people talk about the implication. That's kind of my point, is the mainstream media... reporting once again on this, like, oh, wow, we lost Mattis. We lost Mattis.
Stability.
No, status quo.
They had a thing with Pelosi and Schumer. You know, Grandpa fucking Chuck Schumer were like, oh, this was a great bully administration. A voice of reason and stability was lost.
I mean, look, you pulled up a website.
Right.
That.
Oh, I could have pulled up way more.
I understand. I understand. No, I understand.
Things. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did this white phosphorus shit. I don't deny it, but he also probably presided over a dozens and dozens of other military operations where he didn't do that.
Right.
Where his leadership probably helped to minimize casualties and save lives.
What really would have minimized casualties if we were never there in the first place?
I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, this assumption that he's just a total vampire because he did some horrible war crime, it's just like, well, he just joins the cult then, I guess, at that point.
Right. And I mean, that's how I feel, though. I mean, I'll hold the entire system.
But you can't, like, totally ignore the implication that this has for Trump. This is, like, more of the Republican establishment utterly walking away from him.
Right. Which is the Trump that I think a lot of people wanted in the first place.
Well, his first Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, has already made so many comments in the media. Like, I had to, like, tell the Mr. President, what you want to do is illegal. Like, we actually can't do that. And it's like, huh? Yeah.
And now, of course, Rex Tillerson's going around calling Trump basically retarded. And Trump is basically... What did Trump call Rex Tillerson? Like, dumb as a doornail or
some shit
like that. So they've been, like, sniping at each other.
Retarded Rex.
Twitter war bullshit.
Retarded Rex.
So many people have come out of this administration talking about how incompetent and corrupt it is.
Yeah, and if you look at the fucking exit from the administration, like, you can pull up giant pictures that are just tons and tons and tons of people. This is, like, this is all
couldn't
the people...
Couldn't make it 2 years.
That couldn't make it through 2 years of the Trump administration. So it's extremely volatile environment. We never saw this sort of departure rate from any administration that I could fucking remember. Do you remember any sort of exodus like this?
No.
Well, they have existed throughout history, I guess. Like, what I read is that they have happened, but I think Trump is probably on pace for, like...
Like, where, though? Like, Nixon is the only one that I can think of where a lot of people were jumping ship.
Right.
He had a lot of turnover.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, too, a lot of these people that do quit, a lot of the people get fired by him because they don't fucking kiss the golden ass enough.
Right.
So he fucking gets, you know, shit cans them.
As far as I know.
But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, like, I don't deny any of that or the implications for his administration in that respect. All I'm saying is I'm not going to miss this piece of shit who is a warmongering piece
of
garbage.
The only stability we've...
Fuck him. He can burn in hell.
You know, the only stability we've seen is definitely not Trump. It's like there's Pence.
Yeah.
The only people he probably wouldn't fire, he won't fire Ivanka, you know.
There's been rumors about Pence.
I mean, there have been, but I think that's pretty unlikely.
They've circulated, though. Like, well, the rumor that's circulated is he's going to choose a different VP for
the only fucking person I can imagine Trump not kicking out of the White House is like Ivanka and Jared Kushner. Those are the only two, like, because, like, it's just like...
I think even their heads will go if it means saving his.
You might be right about that, but that's like his golden child. I think if she went, I mean, that'd be probably the person that would affect Trump emotionally the most. I mean, I obviously have that weird relationship with her. Like, that's like the only person that Trump seems to have any sort of empathy or like any sort of like real genuine feelings about. Like, everyone else kind of just like, my wife Melania, and it's just like there's no emotion there. It's just like you can tell he doesn't give a shit about her one way or the other. Like, maybe it's defuck, but that's it.
I mean, what about the problem of this? Like, when his chief of staff resigned recently.
Yeah.
Like, all of the reports seem to point to the fact that Trump was having a hard time filling that fucking position. Like, right. A lot of people were considered, and then they were going out publicly and going like, yeah, not, no thank you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just like, the people want a Trump that isn't in this insular establishment cocoon.
Right.
But where are the fucking champions to step into the fucking ring with him? Like, why aren't there just people?
Yeah, it seems like people are pretty scared to even involve themselves in the administration. And it's really not a shock because, first of all, it probably feels like, why even waste your time? You'll probably be gone in a few months.
That's why I don't buy this. Like,
another thing is that, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, no one inside the establishment seems to want to do it.
Or outside it.
Yeah. Or outside.
You think Trump, who put fucking Steve Bannon, what was Steve Bannon for? He was chief of staff for a while, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
He was something.
At the very beginning, or yeah, right. Chief of operations or something like that.
He had some kind of fucking pretty high chief advisor position.
Scotty's looking it up,
yeah. Yeah, whatever it was. Like, this is Trump is a dude that's willing to look outside the traditional politician and but where are those guys at? He's looking for a chief of staff for the White House, and he can't find, like... I don't understand. Like, that's why I don't buy that argument.
Oh. It was the White House chief strategist.
Okay, right.
So chief strategist.
And I think it was actually a position that was created for Bannon.
Right. And then he, of course,
right,
departed the administration, and now
Trump
shit talks.
He got a bunch of heat in the media and shit, then it looked bad on Trump.
But he still kisses the ring. He's still sucking Trump's
dick.
Even
though Trump disavowed him, he still is sucking up to Trump.
Well, you remember what happened with that was like he started actually like saying some shit about Trump, and then it was all like a bunch of people were like, fuck you, Steve, and then it was like, no, I'm really sorry, I misspoke, I don't know, I love Trump, Trump's great. And then, of course, they went back to like, good, now you're put back in line.
Whatever.
It's pretty crazy shit. Yeah, so there's a lot of departures from the administration. This guy leaving, first of all, I don't care that he's leaving, and second of all, the reason that he's leaving is absurd.
I mean, do you think when he's replaced that it's going
to
be anyone
better?
I mean,
you don't have to look too hard to find a piece of shit in Washington, D.C. I mean, so he's, you know.
No, you don't.
They're not going to find anyone better to replace this dude. I mean, maybe it does happen.
The only reason I feel the need to point out that he's a piece of shit is because the media is not reporting that he's a piece of shit.
Right.
Well, I never really.
Well, because it doesn't fit their narrative right,
right.
now.
Right.
Their narrative right now is everything Trump do bad.
Right. So even
this guy leaving,
and some people have come to me and said stuff like, you know, maybe Trump is just withdrawing from these countries so they can go do some military shit elsewhere, and maybe that's true.
Could be true.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
could
maybe
be
he's
gearing up
for
an Iranian.
Some people are even speculating maybe a South American stuff is gonna be going
really
down. Yeah.
Some kind of another one of those we didn't learn.
No, we never learn. We're the United States of America. We don't learn. But, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen. If that does, then fuck Trump doubly so for even making me think that he might be doing a good thing. But I think that these de-escalations are good. Do I think they'll have consequences in the region? Absolutely. But, you know, we cannot stay there forever.
Not just
and hold shit together.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
we can't be eternally there, eternally trying to manage those people's affairs. I mean, look at what it's done. Our interventions, they just never work out. Maybe it's time to just say, fuck it. You guys sort this out on your own. Russia, China, you guys quibble over this bullshit. We don't want it anymore. We're done.
What about the argument that fuck.
All right.
The argument of fuck.
I don't even know. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like this administration is so absurd and times are so absurd right now that I don't even know how to justify, you know, how to even make a fucking good argument, like a good devil's advocate argument or anything for any of this. Yeah. I don't know what fits. Nothing fits.
Well, that's why I made a video yesterday called Donald Trump Broke Politics, because frankly, things are happening right now that I don't understand. Like, I don't really understand what's going on. I don't understand what's the impetus behind this Syria shit. And there's all kinds of speculation going on. And it's just a total mystery.
I mean, the thing I think about it is that I think that the Europeans really wanted to solve this fucking migrant crisis with Europe. And I think that Turkey is kind of the key to that. They're the key because a lot of these migrants were obviously having to go through Turkey. And if Turkey's like, okay, we'll kind of deal with you guys, then those people stop coming. One, because they stabilized that country a little bit more. Because there's obviously the Turkish military is going to take offensive action in that region. Like you were mentioning earlier about the Kurds. So they have that. I mean, it's still going to probably remain a proxy war, but it seems like that's kind of simmering down somewhat. And it stops the migrants from going through these to these other nations.
Right.
And I think Trump also wants to be in cozy with these dictators. And I don't know the reason why. That's a mystery. But he loves dictators for some reason. I mean, maybe you can say that he aspires them. He admires the total control of the country they have.
I mean, I think that's definitely it.
But I mean, obviously there's other aims politically and obviously financially.
I mean, if we're really being honest, the United States has always been pretty cozy with lot of dictators.
No, I'm not saying that's unique.
It's not, really. It's like a spotlight is shined on it.
But every administration shifts those balances of power where they want it.
Exactly.
Like the Obama administration was really cold to the Saudi Arabians. They're like kind of like, I mean, like at least the lip service. But I mean, like, but that was definitely between those leaders themselves. There was a much colder relationship. That had to be the perception because of Obama's base. Now, whether that was actually true or not, obviously that's politics.
I mean, did the policies change? Not really.
Not dramatically. No.
I mean, you know, it seemed like we were still doing business with them. We were still happy to call
Obama
them
was
ally.
A president that was good at managing the affairs of our country in a way that, like, he maintained the status quo. And that's what Hillary ran on. Hillary is kind of like, I'm going to try to just keep the balance of power in the world the way it is. I'm just going to have this very even keel kind of foreign policy of just, like, very measured approach.
You can't fucking win elections with that shit. You can't win elections with it because it's not what anybody really wants.
No, of course not.
I mean, people are scared of change, but they're also scared of stagnation.
Obama won on change and Hillary lost on let's keep it the same.
Right.
And Trump won on change too.
That's why the Democrats always need these disruptive Republican fucking forces like Trump. It's like it's part of the fucking plan where, you know, they know we're sick of the status quo. So they give us something a little worse than the status quo for a little while so that we're hungry for the status quo again.
Yeah, give us back stability and normality.
But the bar just gets lower and lower. Dude.
Right. And it gets lower in a lot of ways it does. I mean, we've seen wages just go down and down
or stagnate
compared to cost of living and shit.
Yeah, I mean, even if they increase, the cost of living increases so much higher,
right.
It wipes out any sort of tangible
gain. It either
keeps
parity with it or it just goes down, in comparison to it.
Yeah,
minimum wage in this country is still, what, like $7.15 an hour or something like that?
Yeah, if you look at the wealthiest 1 to 0.1% of people, their incomes are rising dramatically.
Right.
So it's like the writing's on the wall. It's like... But it's the age old thing that it's always played out. The rich have always been the rich for a reason because they're not going to give up that money. They're going to rig the system so heavily in their favor and tilt the table so much that the average person just doesn't have a fucking chance. By the time they even try to get anywhere in life, they're saddled with so much debt. There's so many things they need to have just to live. So it's like they're not going to get ahead. Your business is going to keep on rolling. I mean, you think about this. You're born into money. You have such a competitive advantage over other people because you can simply, one, just invest the money and never even start a business and be rich. Two, you can buy a company, which you then have total control over. Three, you can just go start a competitive company with other people's money.
You know, dude, this pullout thing is dubious to me because it needs to be paired with something. And I think it's wrong to look at it and go, this is a great thing because we're just getting out of this military conflict. this, if this was paired with a fuck you attitude of we're going to develop alternate sources of energy, fuck you, we'll cede that strategic territory to Russia. If you want to base your economy on a finite fossil fuel resource, go ahead, Russia. Like, I would back it then.
Right.
Because that power vacuum wouldn't mean anything anymore. But as it stands right now, we live in an economy that runs on fossil fuel. That's the blood that pumps through the fucking veins of this fucking country.
Yeah, completely.
And we're pulling out of these regions is naturally going to allow other geopolitical forces to gobble up those regions and resources.
I see two possibilities there. I see either that, I mean, you know, U.S. oil production has increased dramatically in recent years.
I think actually for, what was it last year, the U.S. was the number one.
Yes, we're a huge, we have our own oil now.
I think, I think so that's maybe it's,
still maybe it's, finite.
Yeah, it's still finite, but maybe part of it is like, hey, we got our own shit now. We don't even need to be fucking with this. Or it could be, if you believe that the two parties are in cahoots, maybe this Green New Deal that's being floated around is something that we're going to be transitioning towards. You know, maybe it is going to be, like you say, it's going to be sort of a push towards renewable energy sources and trying to get away from these finite resources.
We've had those overtures towards that my whole life.
Right. But is maybe this is the time where it kicks into high gear. I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens.
I mean, it's really hard to know. It's hard to go from facts
to speculation.
To speculation of like where you're almost in conspiracy theory territory. Maybe they're all together and they all know what they're. I mean, who knows?
I mean, that's why I wanted to. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're all work. I don't know. I know that there's some in cahoots. I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I also like some part of me thinks like, is this all just being orchestrated? Is it all just a fucking masterstroke? Because I don't know for sure. It's not. I don't think that's the case. I think that there is some division and there is some different.
There's always going to be chaos. There's always going to be factors that you just can't control.
Right. So I mean, I don't believe that
these other major players aren't studying the chess pieces and making moves, that'd just be naive to believe that.
Oh yeah. And I know there's some cooperation and a lot of what we see as the public is not what's really
Of course not. We don't have the real picture.
So for the first time in more than 20 years, copyrighted works will enter the public domain.
Wow.
You know, a lot of these people have been stringently protecting these copyrights, so a lot of stuff that should have entered the public domain just never has, because they figure out ways to cheat the copyright code and stuff. Whose woods these are, I think I. Whoa! We can't quote any more of Robert Frost stopping by woods on a snowy evening because it's still under copyright as this magazine goes to press. But come January 1st, 2019, we, you, and everyone in America will be able to quote it at any length on any platform. I'm pretty sure you can still get away with doing that. At midnight on New Year's Eve, all works first published in the United States in 1923 will enter the public domain. It has been 21 years since the last mass expiration of copyright in the U.S. That deluge of works includes not just Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, which first appeared in the New Republic in 1923, but hundreds of thousands of books, musical compositions, paintings, poems, photographs, and films. So this is pretty cool. Because, as content creators, you know, I've never found the stuff in the public domain to be tremendously useful to me, but it's kind of nice to know that more stuff is entering the public domain because it gives you a little bit more to play with.
It's egregious, though, that it. I mean, like, look, I think most people probably should be entitled like 20 or 30 years.
The copyright laws in this country, you know, make no sense.
I mean, at a certain point, it's like after this something, a product, whatever it is, has been out so long, it's like, come on. I mean, maybe like there can be exceptions made.
I mean, the fucking Happy Birthday song, somebody owns
still
that.
Copyrighted. Yes.
Wasn't there a legal battle?
I think there was. I think that actually ended due to a legal fight.
Yeah, and then finally people can actually sing Happy Birthday now.
I mean, that just illustrates the absurdity. But I don't know, man. I'm with you. I think the public domain is a good idea with very little of use in it. I mean, there's some good stuff in the public domain.
So here's an interesting little tidbit about why this is like it is. We can blame Mickey Mouse for the long wait. In 1998, Disney was one of the loudest in a choir of corporate voices advocating for longer copyright protections. At the time, all works published before January 1st, 1978 were entitled to copyright protections for 75 years. All authors' works published on or after that date were under copyright for the lifetime of the creator. plus 50 years.
Ridiculous.
Steamboat Willie, featuring Mickey Mouse, first appeared on screen in 1928 and was set to enter the public domain in 2004. At the urging of Disney and others, Congress passed the Sonny Bono Copyright Term Extension Act, named for the late singer-songwriter and California representative. Oh, my God.
So they wait a minute. They waited until Sonny Bono was dead, named some spurious piece of legislation after him that extended copyrights into the question mark territory so that giant companies like Disney could continue to exist long after the fucking driving force that was their creator is long gone from
Steamboat
the company
Willie
and continue to just
copyrighted.
Hoard this fucking content to themselves.
Yeah, Steamboat Willie should have been part of the public domain in 2004, but thanks to the Sonny Bono copyright term extension bullshit
act. Think about what that means for now.
Right.
Some of the early classic long-form Disney films would be in the public domain now.
Right. You could go watch fucking Sleeping Beauty.
Or
Cinderella
or something.
That's like 2040.
Snow White you could probably watch on YouTube by now.
After 120 years of this being someone making money off this, it's now in public domain. It's like, really? It's kind of fucking ridiculous.
And it just illustrates the problem with Disney that we've talked about on this little fucking show. Yeah. It's like they have no new ideas, so they're endlessly trying to just reanimate all these fucking old classic things and remonetize it and make a new park about it. There's nothing new coming out of Disney anymore.
We should try to sit down sometime and figure out what the most evil corporation on the planet
is. I didn't know this about Disney, so you taught me something about Disney with this story. So I'd say Disney'd be high on that fucking list.
Oh, Disney is definitely a contender. Disney is a heavyweight in the battle for evil corporations, to be sure. All right, last story. Pope urges predator priests to turn themselves in.
Oh, that's good.
Pope Francis on Friday urged predator priests who have sexually abused minors to turn themselves in, making one of his strongest comments ever on the crisis in the Roman Catholic Church.
Wait a minute. I've got a good idea, dude. Instead of doing that, he's the Pope. Why don't you say, like, look, you need to come forward or be excommunicated?
So here's what they said. To those who abuse minors, I would say this. Convert and hand yourself over to human justice and prepare for divine justice. What does he mean, convert? Like, stop being Catholic? Like, what
is he? I guess he's maybe implying start being Catholic.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm kind of confused by that word there. Is he telling them to stop being Catholics, or is he telling them that they're not Catholics and they need to start being and go hand themselves over to justice?
Right. Prepare I think for he's trying to make the implication, like, if you read that sentence, you have to be careful to read direct quotes. The implication is important here. What he's saying in that sentence, the way I read it, is if you're abusing a minor, you're not a Catholic. It's the no true Scotsman fallacy.
Right.
No being true foisted Scotsman on the public. There. In the form of a little fucking carefully crafted statement. He's distancing himself. He's saying convert. He's saying if you're abusing minors, convert, become a Catholic, number one.
Right.
Second.
Because these Catholic priests, not true Catholics.
Turn yourself over to human justice. And third,
and then
prepare for divine justice.
Yeah, prepare to go to hell, basically.
Right.
You know, so.
I don't know if but it didn't say anywhere that he's actually, is he actually saying this to priest, or it says to those who abuse minors.
It says Francis said in his Christmas address to the Curia, the Vatican central administration.
Okay, so it was an internal thing. That makes sense.
Francis had previously used the Christmas address to denounce cases of corruption and mismanagement in the Curia. This time, he concentrated on the global sexual abuse crisis.
It's the only thing people are interested in talking about the Catholic Church anymore.
Let it be clear, faced with these abominations, the church will spare no effort to do all that is necessary to bring to justice whoever has committed such crimes. The church will never seek to hush up or not take seriously any case. That, so
LOL, dude.
I mean, like, so it's basically like you catch the murderer, and then he's like, hey, let me help with your investigation. I'm on your side now.
Yeah, coming from the Catholic Church with their documented legal, like, not in dispute history
going all the way to the top, too.
Yeah.
Not like, you
not
know,
like an instance here or there, but a pattern of hiding sex abusers, moving them around to different parishes.
I mean, with as many Catholics are, probably millions of people have been sexually abused by the Catholic
Church.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, if you could get the actual number, it'd probably fucking knock you flat on the floor.
Yeah.
It's been going on, like, and we're talking about the actual number going all the way back to the inception of this fucking church.
Yeah.
So you think this shit is a modern thing?
No.
Mm-mm-mm. This goes all the way back to the motherfucking roots. And he says it won't be tolerated, and we won't, like, come on, bro.
You guys have been fucked.
Remember when everybody was talking about this Pope being a big old progressive icon and he was going to change the church from within?
All right, so here's a headline that kind of just tells you everything you know. 500 more Catholic clergy accused of sexual abuse.
Tip of the iceberg.
In Illinois.
Tip in of the Illinois. Iceberg.
In Illinois,
one of
the least populated states.
Well, no, that's like 11.
Chicago's
in Illinois. Right.
So Chicago's
like the rural.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's not a hugely populous state, but still,
no, Chicago,
Illinois,
500. It's not like California or Texas or some shit. Is what I'm saying.
12.8 million people.
Yeah, so there's 12.8 million people. 500 new accusations against priests in just that state alone, recent headline. So, I mean, like, it is so fucking rampant. If this Pope really wanted to do something, he should be like, you know what? The Catholic Church is fucked up. It's done.
Yeah.
I'm disbanding the church.
Rotten to the core.
I'm opening the books on all these guys that have been moved around so that criminal justice can be pursued. And I'm stopping the policy, the internal policy of hiding sex offenders.
I said, I mean, just disband the church. It's over, we're done.
And some of you're completely right about.
Well, of course he's not going to do that.
But there's a way that I think he could do the right thing and still probably keep some semblance of the church, because the sentiment of the people when he goes out to the people and does his little Pope tour now, he gets booed when he talks this shit.
Right.
People ain't buying it. So I think if he went, he was like, "Look, when I came into office, I had no idea the gravity of this situation. I was removed from it in my parish, but I tell you what, no more." Here's the books. Here's all the guys that have been hidden. I've collected it all. Here it is.
Yeah, we've
no more of that in this church.
But we've done a huge internal investigation, and it's all being
public. Do a big reform movement, make a new Catholic church.
Yeah, but
that'll never happen.
Yeah, that'll never happen. Honestly, he wanted to do that. Number one, there's a lot of conservative forces in the Catholic Church. They're going to be like, no fucking way are you going to do that.
He's a Pope, though.
Doesn't matter. There's other way. I'm sure there's definitely.
I know there's politics.
Yeah, there's politics even there. And, you know, I think at the same time, like, look, one, I don't think there's any will by him to do that. And two, this has been going on, like Paul said, for 2,000 plus years. These motherfuckers have been doing this shit. They've been getting away with it because, it's religion. It's something that people believe. And, like, no one wants to, like, even if people do horrible things with this, they want to just say, they always want to sweep under the rug and say, well, it's that priest. It's not most priests. This is the few bad apples.
But that line just falls increasingly flat.
You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, this is just
a massive global, like, not global conspiracy. This is a massive global conspiracy. Like, these guys send out pedophiles all over the world.
Yeah. Exporters of the
They're like exporters of fuck. It's just astonishing that we still treat this organization like it's like a serious thing. Like, oh, we shouldn't just ridicule these people. It's like, I'm sorry, but if you're Catholic at this point, you have to acknowledge, even if you don't condone this behavior, that your church does. And the organization you belong to does.
This is an example to me of the adage being true that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Here's an example of people that have literally put themselves in, like, we're the guys that talk to God. I mean, how much more powerful can you get in human society than that?
Because that means you speak for God.
Right. Too. And it's just riddled with people that are preying on people in various ways, too.
Right.
That's just one, like, the pedophilia angle and the predatory and the sex trafficking shit. It gets a lot of press, and it should, but there's a lot of other shit that the fucking Catholic Church is engaged in. How about their fucking, the blood that's on their hands for the AIDS crisis in Africa that gets blamed on the fact that, oh, black people are too stupid. That's what, they actually made a meme that black people are too stupid to take care of their own thing by converting that whole country to Catholicism and then telling them not to use condoms, which would have saved that country from a rampant epidemic.
Yeah.
Fuck
spoke
this.
Spoke out against birth control, spoke out against abortion, spoke out against all these things that would have actually helped the country. in its AIDS crisis. Now,
I mean, if you think about it, they've been on the wrong side of every kind of social policy.
Yeah, I mean, they were friendly with the Nazis. They've been friendly with tons of other dictators.
It's an organization built on massive wealth. Go to the fucking Vatican. Or just go look at a picture of the Vatican. Go look at the fucking museums they have. Just go look at the shit they have. And tell me that the ultimate goal of that is not money.
I mean, I made a video about it a long time ago, but the only answer to this is for the stupid-ass parishioners of this church, organization, whatever you want to call it at this point, to stop going and to stop putting fistfuls of their money in the collection plate. Like, honestly, you got to dry up the wound here. Stop feeding, stop going, stop giving it an impetus to exist. That's the only way this stops, is if the herds of people that subsidize this fucking evil, disgusting, backwards, thoughtless organization to just walk out the fucking door, and that'll never happen. That's another fantasy.
Yeah, just look at all the gold.
I mean, it's just absurd in a world where there are people starving and Catholics preaching to them. The throne of Catholicism is this, like, it's over the top in even my wildest fantasies for, like, what an opulent, wealth-crazy emperor would do. The pictures of the Vatican are just unlike... I've never been. You guys have actually been, so yeah, you can probably speak to it.
Scotty has. I had it.
Just looking at this fucking place.
I mean, you stand back... I mean, even not being a Catholic, in just awe of the sheer amount of, like, look how detailed, like, the trim in this building is. Look how detailed everything is. It's the most ornate, expensive possible... I mean, materials are used. Everything is as this beautiful, like, Renaissance era art. They have, like, Roman statues. They have everything. They have a huge museum with this huge art collection. And it's just like, you're like, man, this church just built on the fact of just total
opulence.
Opulence and wealth. Look and at power.
I mean, this picture.
But this is a, dude, when you go there and you stand on how tall this building is, how large, like, this is like a symbol of power because. There's so few buildings that just have no other purpose but just be, like, resplendent.
Well, not only that, but every detail in this room is handcrafted, custom-made. I mean, this is just a projection of wealth and opulence from an organization that recruits heavily in the poorest places in the world.
And preaches the exact opposite.
Right. And preaches poverty and chastity and engages in fucking underage sex orgies behind the scenes. Like, it's just... Everything that it says it isn't, it is. It's the definition of a backwards,
and everything evil
organization.
Everything that it says it is, it isn't.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you compare something like this and just the gold and the wealth and the opulence and the amount of money that they control and the amount of influence they control. And you compare
they're a
little
city-state, dude.
You compare that to that shitty home for the dying or whatever the fuck it was called in Calcutta with that dumb bitch Mother Teresa watching people suffer.
Suffering
and
gets them closer to God.
Oh, suffering is beautiful.
Suffering
God
is
loves
the purest
suffering.
Expression of the love of God. It is in the moments of our deepest suffering that we are closest
right,
to
exactly.
God.
I read this thing recently.
Which is, by the way, that's a version of that mentality
right.
is actually what Albert Fish latched onto. I know we were talking about serial killers.
I wonder why. Yeah. I wonder what about that scratched his perverse itch.
Right, exactly.
And I'll tell you what. There's this interesting thing that I read. There's an article, I think it was like Wall Street Journal, USA Today, about this family that was really pissed off at this Catholic priest because their son committed suicide. And, of course, he mentioned suicide. Like, oh, well, who knows if he's going to be in heaven now? But I thought it was interesting. I'm like, well, if you look at Christian doctrine, that's pretty much a position that's widely been supported.
That's definitely the Catholic position.
Yeah, and that's definitely the Catholic position. They're like, and they're all upset. It's like, I think you guys are, and like, they're like, we're so upset with the church, and they just sent
you this
guy.
Wouldn't be fucked up if that kid committed suicide because that same priest molested him.
But you know what's, fucking crazy? It's like how these people just don't realize you just don't need these fuckers in your life to fucking be these just moral authorities standing over you when it's just on the most rotten fucking ground possible.
To recognize the moral authority of this institution is just like a perversity unto itself. Because they
just, and a lot of people do.
They have no ground to stand on there. I mean, you know, they don't. What they preach and what they
practice
ain't the
same fucking
thing. And
they're out of touch with modern reality, dude.
And a couple strong words from the Pope don't change any of that. Doesn't change a fucking thing. He can throw all the strong words out there he wants. Doesn't mean a shit. Because nothing's going to change in this organization.
Yeah, just get rid of this shit, dude.
Just get rid of it. Demand that this shit I mean,
when this is just a museum, the world will be a much better place,
or whatever. But yeah,
when this is just a mausoleum of something that's long since died out, the world will be a lot better place. I guarantee it.
Remember, this is the shit that fucking stupid ass Mel Gibson was into. You see what the fuck it did to him, you know? Anyway. That's all we got for today. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, tonight's episodes we had on Jeffrey Dahmer. If you're not a patron, please become one so you can see that and tons of other great episodes. And our website is coming along pretty nicely. So that should be launching. I don't know exactly when, but hopefully sooner rather than later. Looking good, though, so far. So hopefully have that for you guys in short order as well.